Basically, we saw Bronte building and were aware that the council were looking to reinvigorate the site and were so taken with that building that we thought something great has to be done with this. Someone needs to take this with both hands and run with it. And I think in terms of our own business, the cooking school, we've been operating now for 7.5 years out at Lachlan. And in that time have established quite a large garden and quite a good following of people. And one thing that we always found was that people would either call or just turn up at our place and say, think we were a restaurant or a cafe. So after 7.5 years of saying, no, we're not a cafe, we're not a restaurant, no, you can't. If you want to have something to eat, you've got to come to a class, cook it and eat it. So we saw the Bronte building and thought, well, maybe this might be an opportunity for us to go the next step. And I think in terms of the garden out there too, it's way more productive than what we could ever use in 7 days of classes. At the moment, we do 3 to 4 classes a week. And so we thought, well, maybe. And as usual, Severin and I always start off thinking small, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's certainly probably what's happening here as well. So the idea, we were initially looking for a retail space to also value add. The people that come to class, they may come to do a day of bread baking or a day of sausage making or something like that. And along with that, there's always the toys and the tools that you need. And we don't have the space or the capacity out there to stock things to sell. So I send them away in all these different directions with websites and they go and buy them. And we saw that as an opportunity also to value add our experiences where we could possibly sell them, you know, the things they'd need. So initially we were looking for a retail space. And then when we saw the Bronte building, we thought, well, we have to do some food as well. So we sort of went away and approached council about doing something there, and they were amenable to the idea. And so it's developed from there. We applied for a state and federal government grant and were successful in obtaining some money to back our own money we're putting into it. We've engaged architects which have gone ahead and piecing together the plan. We have a DA in at the moment with the council. We're just in the last, probably, I'd say within a week or two, we'll have the final lease document signed. And then obviously, you know, the building and all of that stuff. But we're hoping to be open in January. That's the current thing that we can be open then. We'll employ at least 12 people in there. Probably more to tell you the truth, if anything. And we want to make it a really great sort of multi-purpose space. So it'll be about 60 seats in the cafe restaurant. We'll operate initially Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we'll go from there. So rather than saying we'll do 7 days and then have to pull back if we start small, we can go from there. Friday and Saturday will be lunch and dinner. One of the problems we found with people coming into the area and coming to class was that they expect a certain level of food after their day with us, and they found staying in the area there wasn't anything that really interests them. So we hope to provide people with an option there, and especially at night. That was one of the big things. At night it's very difficult. The day's okay, but night's hard. We want to utilize not only our own produce, but we could not grow enough for what we want to do. So we want to utilize as much of the local produce as possible. So there's an opportunity down here with the beautiful stuff that they're growing in the community garden. There's other market gardens around the Derwent Valley, orchards, things like that. Stuff that I would love to use more of, but you know, within our capacity at the cooking school with, you know, say you did 3 classes of 9 people, there's only a certain amount you can use. And I really want it to be something that the community comes to as well, and to people feel welcome in the space. It's going to be a very nicely decorated space, but I don't want that to be off-putting. So a space that people can come into and sit and have a coffee and a piece of cake. The concept for the cake is sort of upmarket CWA, so, mm-hmm. you know, to take good home baking to the next level. To make as much of our own stuff as possible, churn our own butter, you know, make our bread, utilise our own animals, and in that capacity we hope to have one core just dedicated to sort of animals that then get broken down and utilised in other ways. We're hoping to put a wood-fired oven and a big wood-fired grill in there. I want to keep it as fairly simple in terms of just really well-cooked food, really fresh vegetables like we do out at the Agrarian Kitchen, the sort of food that people there sit down to and have and say, why can't we go somewhere and eat this sort of food? Mm. I think there's a big opportunity also for functions, whether it's small functions of, you know, 10 to 12 people, right up to the main space we'll be able to fit 90 people in. I think, you know, other areas of the site, if someone wanted to have, you know, a marquee or something, that there's certainly opportunities there for festivals and, you know, in that great big exercise yard, and, you know, we could definitely then help out with catering for that sort of thing. You know, you look at what's just happened with the Dark Mofo events, and mm-hmm. we'll certainly hope to have a big enough kitchen and enough staff to cater in a greater capacity for that. I know there was problems with people that came on the other days to view the exhibition, and there not being really anywhere open for them to go and get food. I know that was a bit of an issue. So hopefully we can step in and sort of fill the gaps in that capacity. I've got some sort of preliminary plans that you're most welcome to look through. These ones are, I'll put them in the middle. So has everybody been through that building?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this main...
You've cleaned it up many times.
So the idea is that in this big main space here, mm-hmm. that part of it is actually for the store. So we'd sell not only our own cookbooks, but other things that sort of relate back to our classes. Handmade things from around the area as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Lee Farrell does most of our gardening, and, you know, she's made some beautiful items for us to use in class, plates and platters and things.
Yeah,
and
she used to do potting. And
then people are like, oh, where can we get this stuff, you know? Okay. Can I buy these plates, or can I buy these bowls? So there's an opportunity there. Our own preserves and jams, so all of our excess produce at the moment, we try and preserve and then we sell them. And when you look back at the amount, you sort of think, wow, that's quite a bit of jars of jam and chutneys and stuff that we actually move, and that's sort of not even really trying. So we're hoping that the kitchen space in here, sort of out the back where the existing kitchen is, that will sort of be like a prep kitchen, and that space in front of that will sort of be the main service kitchen for the restaurant. Mm-hmm. If you're following what I... So these double doors here, people will sort of be able to look through here. There'll be seats in front of all the windows, because the views out of those windows are fantastic, looking onto the barracks. Absolutely fantastic. Mm. And then through the middle of the space, there'll be these tables too, so we'll be able to have chairs and people can sit in here. Or if someone just was on their way through by themselves and wanted to have a coffee, there'll be a bar along the end windows that they could sit at and read the paper and have a coffee and a piece of cake. Against the wall that looks into that sort of little front area, the front area will be an office, which will also convert into a private dining room. So a table of 12 could sit in there and have their own little function. And we want that to be quite a nice luxurious space. So it'll have nice plush carpet and sort of shears, and it'll feel very intimate and very cosy. Yeah. And then along the windows that look into this main space will be the bar area. So at one end will be sort of point of sale for the store, and then sort of your coffee machine and all your other bits and pieces, glass washers and fridges and stuff in there.
Will you have a license?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely. I don't think
you did say
it's feasible
to
run restaurants these days without bar, without licences. Yeah. Excellent. Irish coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sort of going back to our philosophy, you know, if we can source things as locally as possible, or, you know, there's a range of really great breweries sort of emerging in the valley too, and definitely we'll have some of their beers on tap that we that people can...
Wasn't a brewery supposed to be part of this?
Yeah, but I'm not sure whether that's going to go ahead. So we'll have we'll lease the whole site and then we'll see
more
what happens.
At the back,
yeah, there's a room out here that's...
It's unfinished.
Yeah.
So, you know, down the track, whether, you know, we outgrew the shop here and, you know, we proposed to fix that ourselves and put it in there, then that's something
that
we'll
do. So that'll just be closed off for the time being.
That'll be closed off for the time being, yeah.
Looks wonderful.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
The veranda space here can be utilised for a long table of 30 if somebody had a small conference or something like that they wanted to hire a space for. So the thing that I love about this building is the fact that you've got all these areas that can be utilised for various things, and just to try to be sort of multi-purpose, I guess, and to see where it takes us.
Yeah.
So you can go in with all the ideas in the world, but, you know, it's the public that ultimately decide how and what it is, I think.
Is anybody else getting hungry?
The other thing that... that we really want to do is to sort of have our own function. So whether we have a special lunch where we bring, so we bring some chefs down to teach classes, and there's a greater capacity there to then have them do a class where people can be hands-on with them cooking, but equally it's a different price point if they, say, cook a lunch or a dinner in here. And there's some great chefs that, you know, I know personally that are, you know, really would love to do, to come down and do things.
Something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's open to the public, like selling tickets for that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the idea, whether it's, you know, someone like Maggie Beer or, you know, these people. She comes once a year to the Valley that people don't, comes to do a class with us that people don't know about anyway, but to have, you know, I think it's going to be a great attraction for the Valley to have people like her and other chefs, and whether it's a special, we do a special lunch around truffles or tomatoes, or, you know, there's a lot of scope there to really tap that food tourism market even more than we already do. So
yeah, this just broadens it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're not spreading yourself too thin.
No, not at all.
You're quite got your ideas right, but you've got the other business too.
And it's important for us to continue to run that, because that's where we've come from, and that's something that when you talk to some of our regular guests, they're like, oh, so you're not going to close this, you know, they think we're moving in here, but what is very important and something we couldn't operate out there even with is amazing staff. And the key to all of this, and you look at some of the very successful chefs in this country, is very good training programs they put in place. Severine will actually work from here, and I'll be here when I'm not doing classes, basically. But I've got a fabulous young girl who's been working in Melbourne for a chef called Andrew McConnell for the last 5 years. I knew her here in Hobart when she started her apprenticeship. She's come out and worked out in the garden because she loves being, you know, loves to do that sort of thing. So she's actually relocating back from Melbourne to here to sort of run it. And I'm amazed, even though we haven't actually put anything out there properly, the response I've got from people sending me emails who want to come and work for us. Including young kids in the valley, you know, who've read about in the paper and stuff. So what I would love to do is really give opportunities from an apprenticeship point of view to kids in the valley and to sort of set them up to go, they could go any restaurant in the world from here, you know, with the contacts that I could and just to show them that, you know, to train them well and yes. to, yeah, really, really set them up and to have the amazing opportunities that I've had, because I come from a little country town, smaller than New Norfolk. Gourmet Traveller have already put this as a restaurant to watch for next year, so nothing like putting pressure on, is there?
No. So. That's why the sign's down the back, paddock down there, we're back on the map.
Yeah.
Have you got bookings already?
People have tried to book, yeah. seriously. People yeah. have tried to call and book. There's actually a guy who's got a group of 30 Japanese coming over in March. He wants to book a table already. So yeah. it's like, well, we better be ready.